How many of you have watched the Hero series? I wonder if you actually have like a favorite character in Heroes. Maybe it's Claire. Maybe it's Matt. Maybe it's Mohinda. Maybe it's Peter Petrelli, the flying boy. Maybe, no, not Sala. He's creepy and scary. Guess who mine is? What's the next picture going to be? Here's my favorite character. Hero, of course. There is no greater character. And his sidekick, who is? Little clue, Ander, okay? Not Ander, who was here at youth some time ago. Let me show you an incredible superpower of time travel and messing with time. Are you ready for this? I wonder if in this last week, if you could have stopped time once in your week, when would it have been and why? What was it that you might have wanted to do? So pick someone next to you, just one-on-one, and share. If you could have stopped time once in this past week by shutting your eye and squeezing very tightly, what would it have been for and when? Cool, go. If I was to judge just by that conversation, sounds like there are a lot of us who would like to mess with time, to bring change, to do something. So Hero is an awesome time traveler. I mean, he goes to the future of the world where there's big explosion, goes back in time. I just captured two moments where he was able to time travel. But the amazing thing is this term is we're getting to travel through time. You are. And all you have to do, as we said last week, is not find really a time machine. You just come on a Sunday morning. Last week, we traveled back to before the beginning of the world, way back into time, back into space, and we saw this incredible revelation of God is great and good. Wasn't implying that those are the only characteristics, because under those are parked some things like God is eternal, God is Trinity. God is mighty. Some of you looked at me like I was from Mars when I tried to explain that there is one God but in three persons, you know? And it was like maybe a fresh understanding. But he's good as well. He's holy. He's pure. He's love. He's kind. And as an implication of all that, we said there were three takeaways. We can know God. God doesn't want to just play hide and seek and stay away from you all the time. Secondly, we said that we need to be great. And thirdly, we said, we need to be good. We'll understand a bit more about that today. So if you weren't here, you just go to the Facebook page. You click on either the PowerPoint or the audio or the pictures you can go through. If you're not on that, don't be surprised that your pocket money runs out before the end of the month. Because liking this page will stretch your pocket money. Money back guaranteed. Okay? And if it does run out from now on and you have liked the page, you speak to either Pastor Gloria or Kondwani and you say, please, my money ran out and you've given a guarantee. Are you happy? Okay, so that will happen from now on. So today, we want to look at the creation of man. In fact, the whole thing of creation, not man. So fasten your seatbelt. Today, we're going to go to a destination before creation. Are you ready? And I would suggest you wear goggles today because there could be bugs. And traveling through time, space, and little meteors, they might just impale themselves in your eyes. Let's travel. We're there. This is the beginning. Because the Bible starts with an incredible verse. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning. In the beginning, when it all began, when no one else was around. Even I wasn't there, even though I'm so old. In the beginning. I want to suggest that as we take a closer look, as we lean forward from this vantage point from our time travel machine, we see that God is incredibly artistic. Because, as we read in verse 2, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep water. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. It's like suddenly God has appeared and stuff has been brought forth out of nothing. You can check this out. It's called ex nihilo. This all came out of nothing, ex nihilo. But the Spirit of God is hovering and it's like God is going to artistically bring about a grand design. And you will see this morning just how grand that design is. What leaves me flabbergasted, even flabbergasted, is that God is powerful. Because how does he do this? He don't go borrowing stuff from the secondhand store. He doesn't go to the tuck shop and get stuff. He simply says in all those verses in Genesis 1, let there. And God said, and there was. When God speaks, stuff comes into being. Psalm 33 says that God spoke it and it was done. How often, if we can pause and freeze, how often have you ever said giraffe and a giraffe appears into your bedroom? Not often. Try it with an orangutan and see whether orangutan doesn't work, right? But God said, and it was. By faith, says Hebrews 11, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God didn't just start with a junkyard. God just spoke and it came into being. I want to suggest thirdly this morning that God's creation is intentional. And this is what creation is showing us this morning. There's a design, there's a purpose. I want to show you, and I hadn't really seen this before, I must admit, before this week, but that God sets the environment in place in the first 3 days. And then in day 4, 5, and 6, God puts the inhabitants in. It's almost like if you're going to get a budgie, you might go out and you buy the cage and you put sawdust on the bottom and you put some seed and some water and then you're like, okay, now I need stuff in here. I'm going to put some air and I'm going to put like a budgie and stuff and then I'll come and release it because it's cruel to keep birds in captivity. But God's doing that day 1, 2, 3, and day 4. So what does he do? He creates day and night. He creates sky and water, or shall I say he separates sky and water. Day 3, it's land that appears and plants appear. Now look at the amazing mystery that on day 4, he puts the inhabitants in place of sun, moon, and stars. Does that kind of link to night and day? Yeah, I think so. On day 5, he puts birds in the water and fish in the sky. They tried that for a while, then they swapped roles because they thought that it wasn't really working well. Okay, so it's birds in the sky, fish in the water. What does he do on day 6? Animals and man. Isn't that brilliant? God shapes and God populates. What an incredible experience of design and intentionality. Don't you want to look a bit closer at these days and see the glory and the splendor of our creation? Would you like to? If you say no, we can go home now. Yes, Miguel does. Day 1, God separates day and night. He just pulls the zip and like, ta-da, the darkness gets pushed back and there's light. And God said, let there be light. So there was light. It's not like find the switch, get some candles. There's no power tonight in our house. How many of you had no power at all this weekend? Only CK. She had to be rescued from a powerless domain. God just says, let there be light. Try that sometime when your power goes out, right? And God saw the light was good. I'd like to suggest try it with God in you and see what happens. The light might just come back on. So God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day, and the darkness he called night. God is naming. God is setting into practice and beings something. And so there was evening and there was morning the first day. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, early morning. You get the idea? First night. And before you know it, God is busy again. Day 2, separating the sky and the water. And God said, let there be a horizon in the middle of the water in order to separate the water. If you ever go on a boat, you're very happy God did day 2. Otherwise, it would get very messy out in the ocean. So God made the horizon and separated the water above and below the horizon, and so it was. God named water what was above. He named what was above the horizon sky. And then there was evening, and then there was morning. And this is just the second day. And it was 10 o'clock, Okay, you're getting the idea. The days are passing. On day three, land and plants. Isn't that awesome? What a world we live in. What a God we serve. Don't you want to just go there on your next visit? God said, let the water under the sky come together in one area and let the dry land appear. Just let dry land appear. Enough already. Just appear. Not like, he doesn't even do that squeezy thing like Hero does. Just, okay, time for land, and land appears. And God named the dry land earth. The water which came together, he named sea, and God saw that it was good. I love the sea, don't you? Isn't the sea absolutely phenomenal? Unless you get getting dumped by that sucker. And God said, let the earth produce vegetation, plant bearing seeds, and the fruit trees bearing fruit with seeds. God is incredible, right? And then there was evening. And then there was morning. This is just the third day. And God's not even starting to get tired yet. A little bit of rest here. God's resting, early hours of the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And before you know it, God says things about the sun and the moon and the stars. And God said, let there be lights in the sky to separate the day from the night. There will be signs, and they will mark religious festivals, days and years. There will be lights in the sky to shine on the earth. And so it was. God made the two bright lights, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. Oh, and by the way, he wasn't even that tired yet on day three because he made the stars day four, right? Wow, what a God. I'd love to travel close to the sun one day and go and land on it and see what it's like. It might be a tad warm. It's not as hot as Nigeria, but it's hot there. I'd love to travel. Wouldn't you love to travel to the moon and drive one of those buggies? God made that thing. He just like spoke and stars. And why do they have that like cross thing like that? You know what I mean? It's like, wow, God, you are absolutely awesome. It was evening and morning. God's not finished yet. God's still working. Day five, birds. And you know, I was going to talk about birds somewhere, I'm sure. But he made them. You know what I mean? That's a black-crowned night heron standing not more than 2.5 meters from me, just doing its thing, waiting to pounce on a fish. I experienced the grandeur and the beauty of God's creation. Let birds fly through. And he made Nemo. He found Nemo before Dory came around. Let the water swarm with swimming creatures. And God saw that they were good. God kind of thought, that's cool. I'm even going to throw in some dolphins. Just because they like so rubbery and cool and squishy. Okay? Just because they're so cool. And it was evening and there was morning. The fifth day, I'd be tired by now. I don't know about you. I'm like, I got to take some time off. God's like, not yet, not yet. Wait for it. I'm going to do some aminals. I'm going to do a little human being or two because they need to be on the earth. Let the earth produce every type of living creature, even with curly tusks, every type of domestic animal, crawling animal, wild animal. God makes them. Scary, life of Pa. Now we're talking for the guys. God has created life. He's finished. Because now evolution is going to take over, right? Don't think so. Because God has his master plan and his masterpiece. He's now ready to do, watch me now, watch me move. Watch me roll. I'm going to take me some clay and I'm going to start molding me someone in my very own likeness and in my image. And I'm going to lay him down and just breathe my life into him. And he is going to become, not just he's going to become male and female in my image, created to glorify my name. This is how the Bible series depicts man rising out of the dust. And in the garden, he places them, male and female, perfect, Oh, can you imagine the love they had for each other? Can you imagine the joy of the birds flying around and doing stuff? And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. What do you do when you've done all that? Well, you find a beach and you take a little lie down because it's time for rest. I don't think God was tired. God was just showing us what we need to do when we've worked. In fact, some people say this is actually the first day of the week. This is the rest, so you can work out of rest. But remember, God had been resting before that. On the seventh day, God stopped the work he had been doing. Put up his feet. I think he might have even taken off his shoes. Because that's what you do on the Sabbath. Now, maybe I can mess around with time one more time. And I want to just ask and troll around that creation and try and figure out, why did God actually make man? Maybe it would have been a more friendly place if he had stopped just after the mammoths and the tigers and, you know, the giraffes and the pandas and that. But what was it about? And this is really the focus of today. It's kind of like that whole creation is setting the scene. There's a platform being created here, ready for something really special. Have you ever wondered why you're here? Why God made humankind? And you know I'm using the word man today, generic, right? It's human. It's not like, he didn't actually even make a man. He made a person in his image, kind of male and female, and then took out the one part that was feminine and created another being. You can read it in chapter 2. It's like really, really cool. So I want to suggest this morning just three things to take away with you. The rest has just been to aim for this. We were made to please God. This whole thing. Because look what happens. And God saw everything that he had made and that it was very good. This is the first time God says it's very good. Right at the end, when man has been made, God looks around and said, this is very good. Now, if you look at something and you say, this is very good, do you think that brings a frown on your face or a smile on your face? A cosmic giant smile, you know what I mean? Like a God-sized smile is in the universe. And so what? Remember last week we did the so what? I wanted so what each of these. So we are made to please God. So we are called to make God happy. Look at that dad. Do you think he's happy? He's got his little police hat on his kid. And like he just wants to, all of you want to just, cute. I want to love that child, you know? This is my son. This is my child. I'm proud of this person. The hardest thing as a father is to not be too happy of one of your children because you're happy about all of them. Oh, you're my favorite. Then you look at the other. Oh, you're my favorite. Oh, you're my favorite. You are favorites because they're your children. Whether it's a natural birth, whether it's biological, whether it's through adoption, you just love your children. And you know what you love? When they please you. When they turn back and say, I'm going to do things that make you happy. Hey, can I help you with that? You're washing the dishes. Can I help you with that? Father's like, no, I got it. Yeah, of course, come and do it, you know. Come and do it next to me. It's just a message to Ashley if she's in the audience. I don't know. Make God happy. And you do. Yes. I want to suggest that not only are we here to make or to please God, but we are here to reflect God. So God created humans in the image of a monkey. Well, that's not in the original version. That might be in a later version. That might be in your school textbook. And I'm okay with a little sprinkling here and there of theistic evolution within species. But I have to say, if you believe that I was a monkey once, then I take my hat off to you because you've got phenomenal faith to believe that despite all the gaps. Good on you. I wish I had your faith. I'm just going to go with the creation account until further notice, if that's okay with you. Okay? And I know I'm old school, but I was created in the image and the likeness of God. You were, even you, James, in the image and likeness. And I think you too, Jeffrey, in the image and the likeness of God. No one left out of the original design. And so what? Well, show God off. Kundwani and I were talking about like Bruce Almighty this week when he did all this stuff, and we were looking at pictures, and you know how he walked on water and how he parted things, and he tried to help everyone's prayers and answer everything. He made a royal mess, didn't he, as being God? But we're here to show God off. I want people to look at my life and say, in some way, you reflect something. You reflect something over and above, just like we reflect. Have you ever heard someone say to you, you look just like your mum or your dad, or, you know, or a sibling? And you're like, no, don't say that. Don't ruin the friendship now. My dad's 50. I'm a girl. I'm 18. Don't tell me that I look like my dad. But there's a family likeness. And if you looked at old married couples, they look identical to each other eventually because they spend all that time staring at each other and they begin to look like each other. Maybe we're going back into in the image of God, male and female, he created them before he split them. We've been reunited. And so what? Show God off. And so we were made to please God. We were made to reflect God. But I want to suggest that we were made to serve God. God blessed them and said, be fertile, increase in number, fill the earth, and be its master. Rule the fish in the sea, look after the birds in the sky, don't put them in cages and treat them mean. It's my hobby horse. And all the animals that crawl on the earth. Do you see that they've got a purpose and a plan? I'm not really doing chapter 2 today, but they name all the animals. It was Eve's idea to call it a rhinoceros. It was Adam's idea to call it the giraffe, because there is an audio recording of that original conversation. They did argue a bit about some of the things. The orangutan was a really difficult one. But they were given a task by God. They were put in the garden to work it. It wasn't a punishment. It's not because of the fall of man. God wants us to serve him. And so what? Serve God well. However service for you looks, do things that will touch people. I saw a picture yesterday on Facebook. That's our very own Dima Kotso in the middle there. She was at Wits on Friday in the silent protest 2013 day against violence. The ridiculous statistics of rape in our country. I believe she was serving God by being one of those to stand up and say, we're going to be doing something different. When James flies to Durban this week to attend a two-day meeting of the council, he is serving and showing God off well in doing that. When you take a stand for something, you are doing. When you do just a random acts of kindness, you show God off. You please God. You serve him. You serve him well. I found this video late yesterday afternoon. I was saying, Lord, give us something as a final challenge. And this is what came up. It's the kindness boomerang. Are you ready for this? This can happen. Can happen to you this week. Let's pray. What a purpose, Lord. What a reason for our existence. Not random, not chance. No accident sitting here this morning. No one who wasn't planned and intended by you to bring life and hope and joy to your world. Lord, somehow you call us to co-create with you, to co-labor with you. As we saw Friday night, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Lord, how you choose to use us is marvel. It boggles our mind. Knowing, Lord, that you have something for us to do. And Lord, may we please you. May our lives truly make you proud of us. Lord, we want you leaning forward in heaven, eternity, pointing down and say, hey, angels, come and look. Look what she's doing. Look how that shows a reflection of my image. Ah, so proud of him. Look what he's doing. Look at them serving. Look at them touching lives, making a difference. Forgive us, Lord, when we miss opportunities and moments to do good, to bring your life to others, to pass on your word of this whole incredible story that we're going to explore this term. We pray, God, that more and more that our lives would become pure and kind and holy and good to reflect the likeness, the image of our Creator. We ask you to do this, Lord, in and through us, for the sake of your name, the sake of your kingdom. And we will be quick to give you all the glory for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like if ever, at the end of a service, you want to speak to one of us leaders, you know where the leaders are, please feel free. If there's something you're struggling with, please do. Go well. Enjoy your week.